Julian's not coming.
It's yours or ours?
Julian's not coming.
I'm going to call him.
If you had a chance, there's only one correction to the agenda that I see is that Miss Astrid Bergson was left off the attendance. Any other changes to the agenda before we approve them? I mean, to the minutes before we approve them. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm skipping over. Let me ask for approval of the agenda, first of all, unless there are any changes. It's been moved and it's a second. Second by James. All in favor of the agenda as it's presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Good.
Then we'll go to public participation.
Right up front. Okay.
If you have something, you can participate.
Yes, I'm Sophia Lewis, leading the Women in the Jail work group of CCPJ. And so I just wanted to make it clear that we're not asking the jail to try and force a state agency to teach a class in the jail. It's more like we're looking for, Women in the Jail would like for the jail to tighten up its communication with the courts about what the social services plans are for those who've been convicted and are jailed and have children, and so that they can register those courses, and that way it won't be up to you know, pleading with sergeants and so forth to plead with the judge to allow them to take certain classes that are necessary, and that they won't have the time to take within the required time frame if they only begin them after their sentencing. And I think that I'm learning a little bit more about how the Women in the Jail issue fits into this response, and how maybe it doesn't in some ways because of the level of, you know, searching that you all have not been able to do, but we've been carrying a lot of that research. And also, when I left the meeting last time, I discovered something called the Bill of Rights of Children of Incarcerated Parents. And it was developed in San Francisco, and it was adapted. Versions of it were taken from it and adapted by the United Nations in March of 2012. And in Cook County, there is the Mom and Me program, and they have it on the basis that they are adhering to the sixth right within that Bill of Rights of Children, and that is the right for them to see and to talk to and to touch their parents. And that, of course, implies the right of the incarcerated to be able to supply that that experience for the child. And there are numerous other rights that are listed. There are a total of about six. And so I just wanted to emphasize the importance that, you know, even though we have a decent rapport with Dr. Kalmanoff, and we were able to meet with him in one of these rooms, and, you know, he is interested in making a direct recommendation of the social services plan registration, we still would like to have, you know, something of a support within the Social Justice Task Force's response to the report, make sure that it's included, and we talked about ways that can be included so that we can make sure that it gets included and implemented, and that further, you know, research is kept up and done on issues that affect the things that within the jail that are diversionary. The education that's provided in the courses for the anger management and for the parenting are considered diversionary, and that kind of thing. So
this is incidentally what Cal suggested that Aaron and you and I and Sophia go see them about. He called it child jacking. what they do, which I think is a reasonable description of what they do. And
thank you, Sophie.
So do we have any feedback about where that fits in our recommendations?
We'll talk later.
No, you can go ahead.
No,
I'm sorry.
Wait.
Excuse me.
That would be later. We can give her feedback. I can share with you where it could plug in briefly.
It's under B on this agenda.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Sophia. At this point, then, we'll approve the minutes, including the correction of adding Ms. Buxton to the attendance of last meeting. Are there any other corrections to the minutes that we need? And I entertain the approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Moved by Scott and seconded by Ms. Burson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Minutes approved. All right, so we can start with, we'll skip A because review of the structure of the document included Darlene, and she's kind of started that process. So we'll skip A for a second. Do we know if Mrs. Darlene is calling in? She didn't say she wasn't.
I haven't heard that. Her vacation started tomorrow, but I'm not.
Yeah.
She was supposed to be here today because of this item. So we'll just come back to it if we can. We'll go to B at this point, and then you can start with the other
recommendations.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I did reach out to Darlene and get her vision of the order, so I'm going to follow her vision in terms of the order in which, we'll go ahead and talk about the council recommendations. Actually, I will take them out of order. And this is, as of now, what would be recommendation number 7. And the most recent draft you would have is dated May 30th. There's both the overview and the full report. And I have not made, I've made a number of changes to this recommendation since our meeting. But I haven't made all of them because I've gotten a little bit conflicting feedback on something. But let me tell you quite briefly what I did. I deleted a lot. I deleted all the discussion of specific subcommittees. I took out some of the benefits of the coordinating council and the like. But there were several outstanding issues that I wanted to raise with you and see what you think. One is a very basic question of what this council should be called. Again, the convention is Criminal Justice Coordinating Council. We had talked earlier about wanting to get the word restorative into that title so it can kind of sensitize people to the orientation of the system. It's just a small change, but I got a suggestion that we should call this the Coordinating Council on Restorative and Criminal Justice. Right now it's Restorative and Criminal Justice Coordinating Council. Not a big deal, but I just wanted to see, because this is going to be talked about, this Coordinating Council, a lot. Any comments on that? Does anybody have strong feelings?
Can you say it again, please?
It is right now called the Restorative and Criminal Justice Coordinating Council. We just call it Coordinating Council on Restorative and Criminal Justice.
James has it.
I have a comment on using the term restorative justice. I mean, we haven't had a discussion, actually, of what that means. And I'm concerned that, I mean, if we're putting forward a name and an approach to justice to the test, to the county board, and to the public, then I think we, as a body, need to have some kind of common understanding of what that means to be able to explain it. Otherwise, I think we have to have some kind of discussion if we're going to put that there. It's not a simple idea that we can just kind of take.
There's one more recommendation I still have to complete, and I just haven't been able to do it because I've been consumed with these other ones. And it is the one that calls for the integration of restorative justice into the system. And so right now this is operating on the assumption that we would want restorative justice in the system. So do you want to put that name question on hold? Because I'm not going to be able to get that done until our next meeting, Robbie.
Well, I think we should start with some kind of a definition of what are the main points of restorative justice and get some kind of consensus on that. If that's a label that we're going to put to our work and to a body that we're going to end up recommending, we have to have some minimum baseline common understanding of it, because it's a big issue. If we get out there and present this to the county board and they start asking us, and we start waffling or coming up with different ideas.
Right. We talked the earlier task force. We talked about it, but then there were members that weren't privy to that discussion. So, what would you suggest that we do? We could put the name on hold until we get to the recommendation. That is the one recommendation. I just haven't been able to finish it.
Well, Ashley, I think it's a loaded word. We can have it in the text, but I would leave it out in the title because I think that's going to turn off a whole lot of people on the county board. It's not put restorative in the name. Put it in the by, but I wouldn't put it in the name.
I tend to agree with that. First of all, CJCC, or the Coordinating Justice Coordinating Council, is kind of a term that I think everyone's familiar in the law enforcement community. Sheriffs and state attorneys and judges will have heard of other counties, including McLean County, who has those. If you start adding other now, the responsibilities certainly include restorative justice and different ways to come up with that. But I think you'll deal with less resistance if it's a term they're aware of. It doesn't seem like they're going out of limb. The other counties of equal size have gone to it. And for the same concerns, I think, that Astrid's brought up.
Is there a consensus?
Is there a consensus?
Call it criminal justice coordinating
council?
I'm fine
with
that. Okay. Now,
Can I before we move off that, so do you agree that is that going to slow us up? Is that going to be a stumbling block in the title?
I think for some it will be.
Are these people going to be people that are going to be against us no matter what we call it? Are we going to lose anybody that might come along with us?
Yes. I think just because what James said, you don't have a working definition of restorative justice.
Well, we can get to that.
It's going to take a minute for people to grasp it in the time frame for which we're working. I think the common language method is easier to work through. The body is most important. I don't think the title is. I think the body is most important at this point.
Okay.
And I think off the minutes. Yeah,
you know,
there are people.
Don't write them down.
Okay, Linda. There you go. She's like, oh yeah.
There are people like Stan James who found the medal. The public
service.
Who would be with us, but who would have a hard time explaining to the people back home about?
I understand what you're saying. That's why I think that is. We don't want to catch them up at the beginning, right? Let's just.
We'll still have a separate recommendation calling for the integration of restorative justice, so it will still be there. One you haven't seen. I've got my draft and my personal memo, but not one that's been endorsed by the task force. Now, you will note also that per your requests and suggestions, I softened a lot of the language. So, for example, in the composition, and I'd like you to look at page 2 of the full report, because I think this is very important, and I hope I've accomplished what you asked me to. Page 2, again, not the overview, but the full report, towards the bottom, you'll note that...
I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm sorry. It's recommendation number 7, okay. Coordinating Council. You're right. You should see my office. Okay. I'm like... I know. Yeah.
We don't have that tonight.
No, I sent it out, but maybe it hasn't been.
I'm sorry, I didn't print it.
We got community-based sanction, 2 of those, the traps and the ribbon.
No, I'm having a problem remembering to send it to Linda. I just sent one under the, because I did send it to you. I've been getting some feedback. Well, it's just one paragraph. I'm not even going to read the full paragraph. There were 2 concerns. One about the composition, how it was phrased. So how that's been changed is it says just some examples of individuals and then in parentheses, or perhaps in some instances their designees who could constitute the CJCC include. So it's just examples of who could constitute. So then there are the people we listed earlier. I added the court administrator. I added the county administrator. I said chair of the county board, other member of the county board who has criminal justice-related oversight responsibilities, and or the county administrator. I deleted a few. I deleted a reference to a restorative justice expert. So I tightened it up a bit, so I just wanted to alert you that it gives them maneuvering room as you wanted, and yet it gives them direction. It gives them a feel for the real need for diversity. So I hope I was responsive to that request. And I got Linda, you probably need to send me an email a day before and say, is there anything I'm supposed to say? I apologize. I do apologize. But it should be in your, again, it should be in your email. So I don't know if, again, it says just some examples of individuals who could constitute the CJCC include. So is that appropriately tempered language?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, the other language that was softened is how does this come about? And the earlier draft had referred to the need for there to be basically an intergovernmental agreement. This is how it should be done. Now it instead, it's couched in terms of the Champaign County Board should initiate, then it says perhaps through an intergovernmental agreement, the establishment of this council. So it posits an intergovernmental agreement as one way to go about it. Does put the responsibility for initiating this on the county board, with the reality we all know behind the scenes there may be people working informally to get the county board to initiate it on a formal basis. So again, the guidance they need and yet a little bit of maneuvering room. Which gets me to your question, Bruce. Were you not comfortable with that? You said you wanted it to be a quasi-governmental body. How would you change what we've got right here?
Well, now that you've got those in there,
okay.
There's balance to it. And I just didn't see it being more government without community and providers and other people at the table so that the ownership would be strictly government ownership. It shouldn't be. So quasi, I think some of the memberships that you listed in there rounds that.
Got it. Now, James had
a statement also.
Just on that transition, I mean, I think I did email these, and this probably doesn't need to be in the document, but it seems to me that we need to identify a driver or some drivers for this process, even though, I mean, I think if we're expecting the county board to conceive of this quasi-intergovernmental body or whatever without anyone kind of giving them a nudge, I don't think that's going to happen. So my point is, and maybe we can discuss this more informally, is that, I mean, I think some people from this body, you know, should be in dialogue with specific members of the county board and trying to get that process actually going and moving ahead. But
As a strategy,
yeah, and so that because I mean I think that the county board to develop that needs the support of people from this body who have spent quite a bit of time looking at these coordinating councils and thinking about what it looks like, but I think we need to give a little shove to make that happen rather than wait for them to follow what's in the prescription, because they've got a lot of recommendations to follow.
And do you think that you think that the coordinating council should precede all the rest of it?
Precede all? You mean all the other recommendations?
Yes.
No, absolutely not.
So when would you say that people should bring it up to the board?
The day after we present the report. I mean, like I said, I think it'll take 18 months to get this thing into place.
What would have to happen is that the chair of either justice, the chair mm-hmm. of the county board, could put this item on the county board's agenda for them to work on it, develop its resolution. This is what the administrator does on normal agenda items, and if that's what they would do with public, with us, then you would have to move it through the regular process of initiating any council like we did on the food council. It was initiated by Pastor Petrie. She put together all the people, got the Farmers Bureau involved. I mean, that's basically how it works. And so this wouldn't be any different. Yeah.
I might talk about that a little bit in how I'm organizing the report, too. That might help a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to go back to you.
I was late.
That's okay. We skip A just so that we can get over to the final recommendation part, and then we'll come back.
Well, the last question concerning this one does, it's the one that you're just all over the place, which I find very fun. But it does relate also, they're interrelated. If we put everything in one, then it affects the order. But here again is the issue. I sent you an email telling you the four ideas I'm hearing from you. So right now we've got four discrete recommendations I'm going to be talking about. One is to establish this coordinating council. And then one is to integrate data collection and evaluation into the system. It's not happening. It's happening on an ad hoc basis to get some funding. It's not happening systemically, and we aren't even making sure that the data collected is in accordance with a sound methodology. There's a separate recommendation about training, making sure that training happens so that the criminal justice officials have the systemic focus. They understand restorative justice. Like you said, we have, you know, what's restorative justice and the like. And then finally, there is a separate recommendation that calls for public outreach and education. Outreach to the public to get ideas. We've gotten some good ideas from the public. We heard one today. And also educating the public about restorative justice, because restorative justice, a promise of it, is the community is a part of this, plays a big role. Now, again, right now those are separate recommendations. The different proposals are this. One is to keep them as four separate recommendations. One is to combine the training and public outreach education recommendation into one, so that basically it's educating the people in the system and outside the system, but leave the other two intact, coordinated council, data collection, and then training, public outreach. So then we'd have three, what I almost call procedural recommendations. The third possibility is to have the council as one separate recommendation and combine the other three together. James, you sent an email today on that. So basically, there's the council, but then putting those other things separately, because for reasons that others can explain. And then the final option is, let's just put all of this in one, let's have the council, and then talk about this as council responsibilities. I prefer not to express my preference. I thought it would be productive if people who had different views expressed the pros and cons, because I really think this is actually more important than it seems. So I just would open it up, I think, for people to say, not necessarily the opinions, but to say, what's the advantage of keeping them separate, or what's the advantage of collapsing them all into one? And then I think it'll be easier for us to figure out what to do.
That's in your, described in your email from this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Scott, what'd you think?
What I had said, Roback, I think, was I could see it go either way. I think I would prefer that to be kept in the same section as right after we mentioned the council. It's one of your responsibilities and go that way, if only because it prevents from adding another section later on that I think we're trying to limit that aspect of it. So keep all that with the council. You know, and I have no strong feeling about that. I just think it might streamline a little bit more and explain what it is right up front rather than make a section for it later.
Well, I initiated the thought of putting the steps, which I consider them the steps of the coordinating council, the data collection, the training, and performance. Those seem to be part of the process of administering the coordinating council to me. Pros of that is it keeps them all together, and it actually lays out what the council, what this body suggests the council does. Putting them separate to me makes it almost like a cherry-picking situation. And I know it could go either way. but that seemed to, that's what jumped out at me most. It's like, well, I think they do a good job data collecting. We don't need that. We'll just do this. That can happen on either side. So streamlining, reduction, and I think tying together the steps and tools towards the coordinating council, I think they should all be together. Asher.
I think the other three may well be well on the way to implementation before we get a coordinating council. And if you put it a coordinating council and then all these things under it, nobody will start anything until you have the coordinating council. So I think these things are separate. And I think there's a lot of goodwill toward establishing a lot of those things already. But the coordinating council may be a long, slogging discussion. So I think they should be separated from it.
Okay. So let's do it the old-fashioned way. He said keep them separate. He was very clear.
I'm very much with you, not only in what you're saying, because I think these things could be done first. I think there's a very high possibility that the coordinating council never gets passed. And so if this is all wrapped into the coordinating council, you don't want to run the risk of everything else getting killed because it's put in the coordinating council. So if something is discreet, I don't think that we should just say, put this in and say that the coordinating council should do it and wrap it all together. That's almost signaling to the county board, if you don't pass the coordinating council, why don't you just kill this too? We don't want to say that. If something can stand on its own, we should let it.
I have a question for you, mm-hmm. more, not a comment, because I'm seeing the different sides of this, but it is this. Because the reality is this. Without the council, I don't want to inflate this. I think the whole thing falls apart. You have a little program here, you have a little program there, but what we're all about is a systemic focus. Mm-hmm. If we divide them up, which obviously in my initial report I divide them up, is there a possibility that people say, well, we did this, we've hired a staff person to start helping collect better data, and they won't do the CJCC?
You do run that possibility. I think that people, I basically think that no. The most likely, either people are just going to want to not do the council, or they're going to want to find a way to implement the council. I don't think necessarily if they're saying they're already doing this, that they're not going to look at the council, because I think the council is going to be such a big thing that some form of the council is either going to rise or fall on its own in
okay.
some form. So I certainly, if they're separate, I have nothing against saying at the bottom or somewhere in there, this is a task that if the council gets running, that would be well suited for the council to do. I'm not saying that we should say the council shouldn't do it, but I don't think that we should just roll everything in like this is one proposal, so that if people look at it, they say, well, we're just not going to do this proposal.
All righty. Darlene.
Well, this is how I'm trying to organize. I'm trying to find ways of connecting the parts that everybody's
yeah.
writing, and so I'm just going to pass out right now so you can see the table of contents.
Oh, okay. Wait.
I'm going to talk about how I tried to organize that part.
Yeah, but just one second. We're going to go back to A. I just want to
do
a quick closing on her question.
Okay. Well, my point about that question is. How I tried to organize the table of contents was to, and maybe we don't agree with this, but is to say we have an executive summary, which is just short. We have our two or three paragraphs about what the committee did in general, like what our purpose was, our vision. And then I divided it into recommended services, which are pretrial services, reentry services, substance abuse services, mental health services, community sanctions. Those are the services we want to have happen in the system.
So let me point of order you again. Just for this point, I just want to close the question of separate or together.
Well,
and then we're
going
to actually pass it out.
All right, let me finish the last part, because that's relevant to this. The second part is I'm calling it, I called it strategies for implementation. And so what I was trying to say is we could, under strategies for implementation, funding would be a point. Mm-hmm. And then under that, we need system coordination. And system coordination couldn't, you know, why would you want to coordinate how you're collecting data, staff development, and public education? How you do that is a coordinating council. So we could say, one, again, in this table of contents, I don't mention coordinating council, but I'm saying that you need some mechanism to coordinate a system if you're going to try to do data collection and training and whatever. Whatever that is, it may end up being a coordinating council. It might be pieces that eventually get connected in some other way. It might, I don't know, but I'm just saying we could, that's how I was trying to fit it together. So whether we want to put it all in one section under one heading and one recommendation, it was kind of a different, just a different way of looking at it. Here's this part of the report would be implementation strategies. One is funding and one is coordinating. So I don't know if that helps or not, but
I mean I can see that is, I mean I can see if we say, for instance, that is relevant if we say majority of people say keep it separate.
Right, or how, yeah.
Right. Or if they say keep it together, then it would be one section, and that those recommendations would not make it into your third section of the report.
Well, my understanding of the debate so far is that the debate hinges on two questions. One is that it's likely that a number of these things could be put in place prior to any decision on the coordinating council itself, and that and that if these things are subsumed under the coordinating council, it's likely that we could lose the possibility of achieving all of these things,
right.
Some or all of these things. And on the other hand, there's an argument that these things exist as a kind of coherent whole, and that whole may be more powerfully described in its entirety, as opposed to the set of pieces that we risk seeming kind of like, oh, some of this and some of this and some of this and some of that. Is that
I mean, that's my concern.
Right.
My concern is that, and I think Darlene is saying, even if you say recommendation, coordinating council under that recommendation, in the third section would say, well, this is how the coordinating council, these are the tools, the steps, the processes to get this done. So, you know, I'm okay with those, but I...
Can I just raise just a factor to, as you decide what's best? Each section talks about what we're doing now. And a strength of keeping it separate, or no matter what, having a mega section, is we need to share some of those details, that we do not have a system of evaluation, et cetera. So I just wanted to make sure that we don't lump it together and say that these are the council's responsibilities. There's a reason why it's and to highlight core deficits in the current system.
So let me ask you a question. If for whatever reason the council is not operating, and I know your thought is that nothing will really come together without the council, but if the council itself, as the recommendation, is not selected, but evaluation of whatever they're already doing on the mental health board is selected, could that evaluation stand alone? What would they be evaluating?
Well, let's say, theoretically, the county board could hire one data analyst who helps improve the data collection evaluation system here. That's not enough, nearly, but that would be a reason to have that evaluation section separate.
Right.
Still, we are not going to end up having the systemic focus, but that is still a step, a dramatic step forward.
Okay.
Because you saw yourself looking for jail data.
Yeah.
So I think what Darlene is suggesting, you know, can provide a way to kind of put these things all together, in the sense that they all have to do with system coordination, without necessarily just putting everything into the into the council or having. I mean, my fear is also, having too many recommendations and too much detail. We also don't want to give equal weight to data collection and the council.
Right.
There needs to be a hierarchy here. Under that system coordination, I think we would have, the council, and then we might have other, specific recommendations, but that are much less weighty than the council itself, but could be initiated before the council.
I think Darlene's is the way that the board would like to read it, because it starts with, what do you want? What do we want? Mm-hmm. And it goes from there to, how are we going to do it? And then, what will make it work and how much will it cost? That's how the board thinks, I think. So I think that's a way that the board can respond to.
I hope it starts with not what we want, but the core deficits of the core problems, and then from that, what do we want?
I think the executive summary does that part, kind of lay out why we're here, why we're here, and why we're doing this, and what are we trying to accomplish. So that, I think, if I'm not wrong, would we agree that the layout as we're going to go over right now with Darlene could address this issue? We don't have to necessarily look at it in the separate or together kind of thing, but in the sections.
Well, the only thing I wanted to make sure, because I heard you mentioning some other possibility, I am, I'd have to say 100% in support of a criminal justice coordinating council, not some other possible alternative that might over time evolve into a coordinating council. I think we should be 100% out for it. Not even
I'm 100% for it.
Yeah, so I don't think we should
not 100%
even
convinced.
Yeah.
It's going to take a minute
so you're
to
thinking,
him.
Yeah, I think as I understand it, you're saying, and we talked about over the phone, it's what we talked about over the phone, then you're saying system-wide focus, the core of that is the council, and then other things are this, and this. Is that it?
I'm saying that what our recommendation, in my opinion, what our recommendation should be is that we want these activities to occur, and we need something to coordinate that.
Right. Some
right.
is better.
And that what that is, we're recommending, as with our other things, we would recommend a coordinating
this
council would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that helps address my concerns. And
yeah.
And then where do you put training, public education? You subsume that in that?
Okay. We need something to coordinate. How are you going to coordinate? How would you do that? How would you implement?
That's a nice solution, actually.
I think it's perfect. Okay. So we can go back to A on this agenda, and it looks like Darlene has some copies.
And I have copies. I tried not to get too wild with the paper, so some of you might have to share. Maybe I have enough. Let's see. Oh, I'm one short. I'm sorry.
Okay, we can share. I have it in the trunk with
you.
Maybe you know.
You got one? There's one more.
Oh, okay.
I have just enough. Yay.
Great.
Okay. I was printing at the last minute. Okay, here's a couple of things I need to say. First of all, I've laid out a format only as a draft, so it won't look exactly like this. But what we're trying to do is, as you turn the first cover page, you'll see that we're trying to separate out little sidebars or bullet points or graph something to make it a little more than just here you're reading a document.
I think I have a person for you.
Okay. Well, I got one. My secretary is doing this for me.
Good.
Yep, I got it. Thank you. So the table, I've laid the table of contents. Lynn and I talked about this over the phone. And we tried to figure out something that would make a reasonable connection between the parts because we wanted to read like one document. And so, again, what I'm thinking is we have an executive summary, which I'm calling in brief. The purpose and vision of the Community Task Force, which I have started to draft, is on the next page. And basically it just says here's what our purpose was that we were called together for. Here's the vision based on the core principles that we developed in the first task force. The second task force came up with a vision to what are we working toward. And then the task force generated some recommendations. And I know none of you had a chance to read any of this. It's all, if you want to take a minute and just read the first page, that's fine. And then we just go into the very brief form of a table or some kind of chart or something of the actual recommendations themselves. I started laying them out just in real brief summary form. Okay. And then the next part, which is I'm not sure where to go with it from here. We have the overview sections,
which we have shorter, like one or two page documents of each recommendation, which we could, that could be the executive, is that what you want to be the executive summary?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay,
we
so,
keep calling it.
Okay. So the executive summary is actually going to be 20 pages long. I think that's too long. In my opinion, that's too long.
But that covers each.
Each recommendation gets a page or 2 pages.
The text of the report should be 20 pages.
Yeah, I think the text of the report should be about 20. Otherwise, they're just not going to read it.
Yeah.
We'd be lucky if half of them read 20 pages.
Michael's reading it right now.
So I'm thinking more the executive summary is this kind of a table.
We're on our way.
Yeah, I'm thinking the executive summary is more this kind of a table where you just list what they are. And maybe a couple more paragraphs about something, and then the actual document themselves. So maybe I'm thinking we don't need the overviews and the long part. We need,
I think if we could get the executive summary to just narrate a little bit through what they're going to see later, then the full report would make more sense than adding the...
So I'm thinking what I will try to do is to pull basic information from the overviews and try to put that in an executive summary in maybe 2 pages.
Or you put it in a narrative form.
Yeah, in a narrative form, in 2 pages or something. Yeah. If that would work for
everybody. Esther has a question.
I need to have another problem. Sort of a problem. Fines. I don't want fines. I really am opposed to fines.
We are going to go back
our
to
poor, the people in the system are poor. And our poor are so poor that I don't think even sliding fines are appropriate.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I think that for executive summary purposes, these recommendations should be short. For example, recommendation number one should be establish a pretrial services program.
Great.
Recommendation number two should be detoxification services should be promptly established. I mean, just... And then we can have the fuller, because we want something that's going to just hit,
right,
and this is too much word, too many words here. And then this lengthy recommendation goes with the document itself. You know. So, I mean.
I agree. They should be, the first executive should be short.
So that'll put your, all 10 of your recommendations on one page.
Half a page.
Okay. I have a couple comments. So you're thinking about something that's originally, because we talked about this before.
We did.
It was going to be
two pages, and
then we're going to have full. Yeah. And here's the complexity. Our audience is not just the county board.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to sell, for example, the sheriff, et cetera, and the day reporting center. And what we're now calling the full report contains details, different details of which are going to sell it to different people. This paragraph will cause one person to say, okay, it's okay. A different paragraph. So, and it's not just because of the amount of work that went into it. It's because to get this done, I think those details are important to be preserved and also as part of the record. I don't like the word appendix because, like I said, appendix is usually tables, et cetera. But I'm wondering, is there... See, what we had talked about, and I thought we were going to have little squares that kind of highlight...
We will have some of those. As you go through, you'll start
to
see
make
some
it,
of them. Yeah,
you will. You know, so like in the... So I thought we were going to have a two-page overview, and then in the full report... You know, on every page there'd be a little box that has a pithy quote so that those people that aren't going to take the time to read it. But on the other hand, if I was Joe Gordon, I'm going to read the section on pretrial services and community sanctions, all of it. If I'm Judge DeSantis, I'm going to read all of it. And if we just try to pare down for the county board, we've got multiple audiences here, and we know that any one of those stakeholders can kill these ideas. So I think it's a real, it's complex.
I think that there may be a way that we could keep all the full reports that we've submitted should be able to be at least kept one on file with the county and the website. That what's given to the county board in the short version is obviously for that audience because this is what we our task is for. But I do agree that the actual full report with all of the text should be kept
I'm wondering if it should be appendix, addendum, whatever. 98% of the people that this is going to be for, a 20-page report is going to be plenty. I mean, less is more with these kind of documents. So I think the longer stuff can be in an addendum. We can have it even as a separate document that we give out as the addendum that goes with the report. But I think we should have it, you know, something that's not more than 20 pages, which is the main body, which is what we're presenting to the board and what people will read. But I agree that we want to keep this, and because it's true that people like Judge DeFantis and other people who are specialists, you know, will want to read the detailed thing. But that's a very small number of people that are going to want to read that. But we need to make it available.
But important.
So sorry? Very
but important.
Well,
yes,
so
but,
let's
but
think about the LLP report, for example.
I'm sorry. It seems to me that we've got three levels of detailed information here that we want to communicate. First is the executive summary that's maybe two pages. Then there's the rest of the 20 pages. Maybe that's, and you could think of it as the summary, the argument, and then this larger thing called all the details. And I would see it as one document that they could read the executive summary and be done. They could read the summary and the body. And be done. Or they could read the summary, the body, and the details, and be done.
Yeah.
And let's not call it appendices, let's call it the details, or something like that.
Supplementary feedback, or call it in-depth, or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In-depth report.
Something that suggests, okay, here's our ideas and the rationale behind it in greater depth and detail. But you don't necessarily need to have all that to get the larger picture in the sense of our priorities and the emphasis that we're trying to create.
Let me give you another reason why this is important. As I said, the audience, all this is change, people resistant to change, and when you read the details, for example, community sanctions, some judges, their initial reaction would be, I got all the sanctions I want, thank you. I've done this for years, I've been a judge forever, I've had probation, I've had some fines, I've had jail. But when you read that this is actually, in some ways we might say it's a pro-justice recommendation, but it's also pro-judge. It's to give them tools that they've never had and that they need. That paragraph can cause them to not bristle at the recommendation. So we might go, but like I said, that may make a difference to this person. And then another piece that talks about what a particular person did to initiate the... What's the new diversion program? That's important to help get Julia to understand that we're acknowledging her good work. So those details may be the difference between somebody being receptive to our recommendations or not.
I think
what Bill said is pretty much what I was saying is basically we have a three-part report and that's what we should have. So people have access to the details, but we have something that the county board members and the other people that are going to read this can manage, which is a 20-page document with a two-page executive summary. And the 20-page document is also laid out in a way that makes it more accessible. The rest of the report is laid out for people who are going to read the details, and we're not going to go into elaborate graphic representation and so forth and that, but we're really going to focus on that 20 pages to make it look accessible, to make it look like we have some notion of graphics and so forth, and it's more readable.
Mike,
your point about the stakeholders is well taken. So if we're not going to have an appendix, how would you suggest that we're basically talking about two different reports, one with the executive summary for the county board, and then one for the criminal justice professionals, stakeholders who would actually be interested in that part. How would you, if you don't want to have, say that the rest is an appendix, how would you like to structure it?
Well, I actually, again, every once in a while you will get a county board member, I assume, who reads the details. So I still would have it all together. And then if you have the black letter recommendations followed by what we can call, I wouldn't call it the full report because it's still not. I mean, you call it, is that the executive summary? Are you saying just now the recommendations of the executive summary?
Well, here's what I would propose. What I'm proposing is the executive summary be basically very brief, two or three or five paragraphs,
with the actual recommendations shortened. And maybe 2 pages or 3 pages. Then we could have something called, not call it the overviews or whatever, we could call it the summary report. And that could be what we're calling the 2-page, the main idea, the basic information, the basic argument, what you're calling the argument that we want to make. So we could call that part the summary report. And then we could have the full report. And the full report, you're right, we don't worry about graphics and all that. We just
put
it's narrative, all the research, all the footnotes, all the whatever we want to put in it. And that's the longer 10 pages a piece if we want to. But
why wouldn't you have what you have here, just the recommendations, then have a summary report, and then have the full report?
We would. That's what I'm suggesting.
Oh, I thought you were saying
which
recommendations
similar,
with
no.
about 3 paragraphs.
Right.
She's saying cut some of that language out of under... recommendation for day reporting center, just say
the shortened version
as we recommend the reporting center, if that's what we recommend.
Right. Yep. I thought she said also adding some descriptive.
Well, I'm saying I would leave in the executive summary or whatever, I'd leave the purpose and vision of the task, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be a page of what we're doing. We don't just put a page with recommendations.
I see. There's no elaboration on what a pretrial services program is, its benefits, et cetera.
No.
Got it.
Not right
Got
there.
It. So that's just, all right. All right,
not right there.
Got it.
Okay. Astrid and then James.
Next time, would you number the pages? Mine's
I'm
a mess
sorry.
Already.
This is a first draft. I'm sorry. Actually, at this point, what I did, frankly, is I took everybody's parts and I made sure they were in one document. I will say also, just as a... I'm going to be on vacation starting tomorrow, Friday. I'll be here by Friday. So tomorrow I'm going to talk with my secretary about how I want to have her work on this while I'm gone. And I will have email. I can do that, but I can't look at documents on my email. I'm just on my phone. So I know you're going to have new versions. I know I haven't seen the final version of yours yet. I know, there could be corrections to things. The reason I wanted people to have a copy is so you see what I have is the most recent version. But so at this point, we have not formatted most of this other than just changing the font, making sure it's on a page, because I know all the content's going to change.
Right, this is just the layout.
It's just the layout.
To see the layout. This
so over the next 5 days, you can send them to me, and I will make sure my secretary substitutes that for the right place.
Into the right place.
And then when I get back next Thursday, I'm going to spend the day before the meeting trying to get it better formatted for you guys so that we'll have an actual almost finished document to look at, hopefully. But what I have to ask is, please, 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 it really is difficult for me for when, somebody sends a part, like Lynn sends a part, but there's 5 questions to it, and then other people respond to the questions, and I'm like, I don't know what you want me to change. So there has to be a final version.
Well, I'll send you the pretrial services. Yeah. It's done.
Okay.
I think at this point... I believe, I could be wrong, but the majority of this task force have read all of the recommendations, the changes that we've already made, because this week and next week are really just to give you the time to put this report together. So we don't have much more time to spend emailing back and forth opposite thoughts on these recommendations at this point. So any final recommendations to those authors of these reports, they really need to get to them at least by Monday or Tuesday if there's any other changes. Bill and
so, remind me the final deadline.
Well, next Thursday is our last meeting next Thursday. So that
here at 6.
Mm-hmm. So there will be a draft presented that we can still, I can still mark up things
we'll
and
mark
make some
the
changes.
Draft.
But we'll mark the draft, and we'll all have to be kind of on the same page by then.
Well, it's late to bring this up, but in my lab recently, we hired an editor. Hmm. Oh my goodness, what a wonderful. To have a professional writer.
Can we get an editor?
In our group.
She can find us one.
Is it worth talking about, given the amount of time, to put it all in one professional, clear voice? A person who's only stake in this is to make it as clear and compelling as possible. I've got a person who could do that, but there's probably a bunch of people who could do it. I don't know what the cost would be. I don't know if it could cover the cost. I personally feel strongly enough about this that I'd be willing to pay for it if out of my pocket if it was the consensus of the group that we should go for it, because I think having a document that is clear and compelling and does these various things at these various levels
is critical.
It's going to make it or break it, because some of the ideas are going to be a little threatening, but if it's written in a clear, compelling fashion. Not that it's not written in a clear, compelling fashion, but it's in 7 or 8 voices right now. Unless you feel like you've really taken those voices out.
I mean, that would be Darlene's question. She's working on trying to put the final layout together.
Maybe you are a professional writer.
I actually am.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's a Darlene question.
Okay. All
right. I mean, you might not like the way I do it, but that's what I do for a living. So.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
No, that's okay.
Thank you very much.
Since we don't have page numbers, I want to. How many pages do we have right now of what we're calling the 20-page report? Have we got 40 pages, or do we have something?
I have every single thing in here except four. They're not, like, for example, I do not have an actual recommendation for mental health. There wasn't an actual, on the part that came to me that Julian sent to me, there wasn't an actual top thing that said this is the recommendation.
Oh, well, here. Actually, yeah.
So that question, how many pages do we actually have?
We have about 60 pages here.
And this includes both the overviews and the summaries?
Yes.
Okay. So if we just have the summaries, how many pages would we have?
About 20.
We would have about 20. So,
we're
about where we need to be. Okay. So we don't need to send people back to shorten their documents.
No, it's going
to
be shorter. The summary once we get rid of.
Once I get a final version from everybody.
But I want to make sure we're not working with 35 page
right.
documents.
No, we're okay. And I just wanted to be sure that we still wanted to organize it that way. So once I get everything, then I will do exactly, I hope, what you're suggesting, and that is try to make it sound like one document instead of this part was stuck in, this part was stuck in.
Right.
Okay. Well, so I have a question about the number and order, just because I had thought in our preliminary report, we had a recommendation that read, and I'll just read it, comprehensive improvement should be made to mental health and substance use disorder treatment programs and services in order to develop a behavioral health system of care that avoids incarceration, reduces recidivism, and promotes rehabilitation. I thought that we had decided to take that recommendation and split it up, but basically it'd say the same thing. The first thing would say comprehensive improvement should be made to mental health programs and services in order to develop a behavioral health system of care, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then within that recommendation, we would identify, just as we are with community sanctions, what are the first priorities? And one is for the police officers to basically divert them. Then with the behavioral health system of care that the recommendation focusing on substance abuse, we say within that, the initial priorities are detox, et cetera. So that's what I had thought. So when we talked, recommendation one, pretrial services, I thought recommendation two was mental health, but referring to a comprehensive improvements. And then we say these few are the initial priorities, but there are 20 things that need to be done with mental health. And then recommendation three, substance use disorders with language like I just mentioned.
Yeah, it's
four community sanctions, 5 restorative justice, which you haven't seen.
That's 6. The one I was missing. Okay.
Yeah, that, so, we talked on that. That's the one. It's I've got a version in my own report, but I've got to play with it.
Then why are you saying 5 is
number 5? It was. That is the one that it says. It used to be recommendation number 2, but it says restorative justice, including restorative options, should be integrated fully into the criminal justice system. That'd be number 5. Number 6 would be the reentry and other integrated programming. Right now, the language we had was the additional treatment programs and reentry planning needed to avoid incarceration, reduce recidivism, promote rehabilitation should be made fully available within the county, be properly implemented,
blah, blah, blah. And then in that recommendation, I just want to mention so Sophie doesn't, so she knows she's been heard. What James has written is primarily focusing on reentry, but we can add a paragraph that mentions that there is a need for other integrated programming. We could cite that as an example, but educational or something, because it goes beyond reentry. We don't have integration in terms of they can start classes in jail and then everything stops. So, now, 7 is the council. It sounds to me that you want to collapse everything else into 7, and then there is that question of the racial diversity issue that you said you were going to bring before the group. So my question is I get it up to 7, but I don't. That would be 7 recommendations or 8 based on the decisions that were made today, as I understand it.
Well, the one I was missing was the restorative justice, and I think the reason was because at one time, you and I talked about this, but I don't know if the whole group did, about integrating restorative justice into the concepts into like pretrial services, the mental health, just making that part of the conversation about the other committee sanctions or whatever. So we take it out as an actual recommendation. And that's why I was missing the number 5. And the reason I have 2 on drug court and detox were sent to me as separate recommendations. So I just left them, but I knew those probably should be together. So mental health would be 2, which I don't have an actual wording for. And then 3 and 4 here should be combined. So the question is, what should that read, 3 and 4? The one we need something just for one recommendation, and it should
be. I can talk to you afterwards. We had language we talked about.
Okay. And so then 4 would be
the community sanctions.
Community sanctions. And then we would take out 5, which was restorative justice. We would just integrate that into the other pieces.
I don't know where
to.
We'll
unless you want
that.
It separate. That was the last I heard. So.
I did want to, there was the Racial Justice Task Force recommendation that James was going to write the language for.
Mm-hmm.
That recommendation could be in that section 3, but the recommendation itself needs to appear in the list of recommendations.
Right. And then if you're going further down, I did, because we did not address juvenile justice, as what was
correct.
One of our tasks that we were supposed to do.
And then
I did write a paragraph at the end.
Okay.
And you haven't read it, so nobody's said that they like it or anything. Yeah, so we want to probably read that tonight and make sure it's okay. And that would be on.
And I'm going to send you, Darlene. So what we can do at this point, because we're still waiting for Lynn to send the other recommendation that she's working on. James is going to send the language for the Racial Justice Task Force that was recommending the report, but we haven't written anything.
And that's here what it's like. The very end, after our recommendations,
uh-huh.
I put a word about juvenile justice, a note about racial disproportionality.
Right. And then we want
and
to put
if we want to
put women in.
Okay, we want to put something about women, too.
Yes, and I'll send you the language of that next week by Monday or Tuesday.
And then do we or do we not want to put in our letter to LLP because LPP, because one of our tasks was also that we coordinate with the consultant. That was our 3rd task.
So we should put that
we should
in
put
there.
That in there. Okay.
So I think I really like the James recommendation that each of the we say recommendation 1, which is meaningless, and then we've got this big long sentence which is hard to digest. But I really like James' idea that we give a title to each recommendation. So recommendation 1, develop pretrial service programs. Recommendation 2, develop a comprehensive mental health or systematic.
Yeah.
3, 4, 5, the same way. And so that each of them has a short little title so that I'm just imagining these folks getting a pile of papers that's 200 pages or 300 pages for every meeting and then seeing a whole, this page, these 2 pages to me look overwhelming. So if we have a title, maybe we don't put them all in all caps.
Maybe the titles
like
that are already in the table of contents.
You mean like community-based sanctions?
So are we or are we not separating out restorative justice as a recommendation? Are we integrating the concept or are
I
we separating it out?
Excuse me, on what the content is. I don't know what the content is.
Well, it was in the preliminary. Hi, again, we got so many things on the our table. I think I sent out an email referring to my my own personal memo that was an appendix to our preliminary report. So there was something already written up. But just to give you a feel for what was there.
Let me restate my question, too, Lynn, for a second. I remember reading the restorative justice piece, but it had more philosophical meaning to it for me than the actual steps and tasks. So
here's what it says. Restorative justice should be integrated in the criminal justice system.
Right.
We are starting to get in the juvenile justice system. We just got recognized for that. We don't have it in the adult system.
Okay.
Restorative justice is about impressing upon individuals who violate the law the harm they've caused, and there's this responsibility to remedy it. How does that happen? Well, we need to get victim-offender mediation into the adult system,
okay,
et cetera, et cetera. So that is actually, that's what that is.
Then I think it should be a separate recommendation.
I strongly agree. I think I think that's the kind of change that we're talking about here. Otherwise, we're just tweaking around the edges if we don't miss them.
And we saw it in the juvenile system. In the juvenile system, when you started doing the VORP was the first one that I was introduced to at RPC with the juvenile reconciliation process, that I believe is a critical piece to really changing the system, that you start making people accountable but working with those victims as well and not letting the system just simply say, you know, defend it. It's just too impersonal.
But I think we have to, if we're going to say something about restorative justice, we have to also, it's not simply putting all the burden of accepting responsibility on the victim, but it's putting a burden on the system to perceive what, you know, the causes and the background and the context of crime in a different way and change their attitude toward the people who are, you know, who are defendants and who are in the dock, so to speak, because it's not just...
Which I think comes with the restorative justice piece.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But, but it's not, you know, it's not... Well, we need the whole thing.
What I had written was 2 pages, full report, and I think I haven't looked at it for months, but I think I can even streamline that, because I go victim offender mediation, family group conferencing. I can kind of more broad brush that. So and the community is a piece of this, and also solving underlying problems. Bottom line is, I think we can do it.
So question would be, and that's what's in the table of contents here. Why would we not include that under community sanctions and reentry services?
Because you can have electronic monitoring that has absolutely no restorative justice focus. Let's just put the little bracelet on somebody and see if these where it's supposed to be tonight has no focus on, you know, people still won't appreciate what they did and they won't remedy it, and the community doesn't have this. Part of restorative justice is also saying there comes a point where you say it's over.
I understand about restorative justice. I'm just saying, why would that not be one of the community sanctions?
It's not.
It's not a program. It's not a sanction.
Okay. One more thing to understand. Restorative justice can be at all 3 stages of the criminal justice process. It can be used as diversion. It can be used post-conviction, pre-sentence. So you have the mediation, and then it's taken to the judge. And the judge says, wow, the victim wants this. But also, we've got to do this. And it can also be post-sentence. You can have restorative justice programs in prisons, for example.
So my thought there is, if we're going to divide this, it's not fitting. So that would need to go in our introductory section. We're saying our philosophy is that we want the vision of our services to be like this, and part of that is restorative justice concept. Because these are services. The first 5 or 6 are actual services we want to see. Restorative justice isn't a service, it's a philosophy, is what you're saying.
You're right. Well, it could also be a strategy, right?
Here's what we talked about. And we had it first, basically, and the county board kind of, this probably shouldn't be in the minutes either, reamed us, because they thought it was all about theory.
Yeah.
And it is implemented through practical tools. So we talked on the phone about how the beauty of starting with pretrial services is the whole catalyst for this project is we're moving towards just building more people, building more for the jail. Well, most of the people in the jail haven't been convicted of anything. Pretrial services is the largest step towards addressing that immediate problem.
if we start with restorative justice, the county board's going to go, oh, God, they're getting into theory, et cetera. So part of this was strategy with the county board, thinking, actually, this is... So the thought
needs to be at the end.
Yes.
It needs to be at the end. All the services, after reentry services, then we talk about all of the programs and the services that we want to start should be restorative.
Mm-hmm. We can. The only thing is one thing called restorative sentences, that is a sanction. So I had it right after. But we can put it, whether it's, we can work that and just cite to that recommendation. Yeah.
So we'll put that after reentry, and that will be recommendation six.
Yeah. Got
one,
it.
Two, three, four, five, six. Okay.
So reentry is five, and restorative justice is six.
All righty. And then we agreed we were going to combine 7, 8, 9, and 10, or not?
We have to come back to that because we didn't agree. We did not agree yet.
I think
the majority of the folks that I kind of informally tallied, and I'm willing to show of hands this thing, ultimately thought that they should be separate. They should remain separate recommendations. Am I right or wrong? That's
right. My compromise was that the council is one and the other three are.
He wants to split the baby. Do you understand what he's saying? Have the council, but then put training, evaluation, public education
into one.
How do you guys feel about that?
Just for the sake of having less recommendations.
I'm fine with it.
I think presenting the board with bite-sized pieces instead of combining them that way makes them feel more able to tack it. It looks more doable. If you put 7, 8, and 9 together, they're going to look at it and say, the hell with that.
That's all or none.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you put them separately, they well, maybe we could do 7. Maybe in a year or two we can do 10, you know? But if you plop them all in one pile, I think it's not going to count.
Well, I mean, I think, like, evaluation and data collection have some connection. Outreach is a different activity.
Can I mention one thing, though? If we're going to have the racial diversity as a recommendation, we talked about putting it in a conclusion
racial
with
disparity.
Juvenile justice, racial disparity. One pot, so we can have a PAT number 10 recommendations. 11 seems irregular. We could combine training and public education into one. So you understand, the council is number 7, data evaluation 8, combined 9 and 10, so that's their 9.
Let that be your table of contents, people.
Yeah, because
that's different than just listing recommendations.
Yeah, it is.
So we don't have a recommendation currently for funding. It's not in this list at all.
Right, it's not a number.
So it's not going to be a number. It's going to be just a narrative?
Narrative.
Okay, but it will be in this location. Mm-hmm. And then we have the system coordination, and again, that can be either narrative or it can be recommendations.
So the performance, staff development, and public education are basically the numbers 8, 9, 10 that you're talking
about.
Correct. You're just not calling them 8, 9,
correct.
10. I think it's fine. It doesn't have to be a number. It has to be in the report.
Right. But where's the council on this list? A system coordination. I don't see
that's
council.
That's what system coordination is.
I understand over here on the recommendations, but you just said on the table of contents.
It's not in the table of contents.
There.
What we talked about, which I thought we had agreed to, but we can change, is that we would talk about it in terms of we have strategies for implementation include funding strategies and system coordination strategies. And the system coordination would be for these purposes. You coordinate because you want to implement things by doing, you know, you need to train staff, you need to do performance measurement. And that the coordinating council would be our recommended way of doing that.
So
that all is together, but the third bullet, the recommendation actually is that you need a system coordination mechanism.
So basically she's calling the coordinating council a system coordination.
So the recommendation would say we recommend that a formal way to have them, whatever, but we have a formal mechanism by which the system can be coordinated.
And I think what Lynn is saying is
she wants it to be the coordinating council. No, it's not. It's not the same language. And frankly, the reason it's not the same language is because I think that's a hot button pusher, and you're right, it probably won't get accepted. This, I think, is more palatable. I think it's more palatable to say it this way.
I agree.
Well, there's a lot of things on the table of contents, like recommended services. Sanctions are not services. They may include services. But when somebody is sentenced to electronically monitored home confinement, that's not a service. I thought you were going to take the 10 recommendations and then have, number one, what do we want to do, whatever that formal title is, and the second one is, how are we going to do it? So you'd have like a Roman numeral one, and then you have the recommendations that bear on that, and Roman numeral two, the strategies, and these literally these recommendations. Now, in the table of contents, they'd be short, like pretrial services, et cetera. But so I guess what I'm seeing is some disconnect between this and this.
Currently, it is a disconnect because this isn't worded the way this is. That's what I'm trying to reconcile right now, is to figure out what the actual recommendations are going to be and will they match the table of content or not.
Got it. Okay. James?
Yeah. I mean, I think it does create a problem if they don't match. I mean, kind of as what Lynn said. I mean, normally if you're reading through a report, you know, the text of the narrative would follow the order of the recommendations. Mm-hmm. If we don't do that, then I think in the table of contents we need something, or in the executive summary we need something that indicates where people can find the information that pertains to that recommendation. Because if someone is interested in mental health, they don't want to. And they see the recommendation there, and it doesn't follow in that order.
It should. It's going to follow in that order. I'm just trying to.
It's going to follow in the order of the recommendations.
It's going to. If we want to switch it, yes.
Well, I mean, that's.
We came up with this because that was a way of organizing it. I'm just trying to see if that still works. Mm. So the first part works. We've gotten through the first part. We've added restorative justice after reentry as the philosophy about the services. We can call it services and programs if you want. I just think the more words you get in there, the more complicated it is. But then we're now into strategies for implementation. So if that would include funding support, and that would include we need some formal mechanism to make that happen. So do we? If we that point, we want what's under there, and I'm calling it different terms than you have here. Mm-hmm. I'm saying performance measurement instead of just evaluation and data collection. I'm saying staff development instead of training. I'm saying public education. I just use those terms because I think the language is less threatening, and it's commonly used language in grant writing and stuff. So,
well, it would seem to me those two things need to jive.
Yeah.
They need to be synonymous. So whatever we label, but I think what we're saying is each one of them is individual, and at the bottom of it, I would say the coordinating council is the mechanism to take care of those three performance system of care coordination. Is our recommendation as the council is the vehicle to take care of it. So we still remain separate, so they're looking at all three of them individually.
I just don't want us to change the language so much that the concept of this committee is lost. The important part to me, and I think I shared this, that performance standards, data collection, evaluation, and those outcomes, that language has to remain, because when you say performance measurements to me, and I'm in the social service field and doing social services, that's completely different than what I'm looking at in systemic change of a system. So if I was looking at DCFS, I don't want their performance measures, because I know that they manipulate around the whole process on performance measures. But when you talk about data collection, I want to see how many families, how many mothers, how many children have been separated from the families. I want specific, not the performance measures of the caseworkers and the casework supervisor. The language really is, in that case, I would not support the word performance measure here. That's not what we want. We actually do want the measurement to be the data collection and the evaluation of those things that are being put forward as solutions to the problem. And we don't want staff members kind of playing around and not collecting the specific data that's going to support the county board in making long-term decisions. And I think that that's The language is really in critical in that.
Could anybody really be against data collection and evaluation?
I would hope not. I mean, data collection and measure, that
is a way to collect.
Well, it brings accountability. Actually, it can reveal that what you're doing, that spending millions of dollars, really isn't working very much when the majority of the people in the jail spend three days or less in the jail.
I think that that's important. That data has to be very clear and concise. And when I, as a citizen, FOIA that information, mm-hmm. I FOIA the state's attorney's office, I don't want this. I don't want your performance. I want the data. I want to know exactly how many people you're dealing with here. And so the language has to be consistent with those recommendations and the text of the recommendations. So that's important to me. I'm not sure about other people, but that's a really important one to me.
Can I ask, because I've lost track of whether we're at 8 or I think we're at 10 recommendations, but why couldn't in the table of contents it says recommendations and then a subsection basically says, and these aren't the fancy words, what needs to be done. Then the next subset, and we have, what do we have, six recommendations on that. The next one, recommendations on how to do it, and that's the council, data, training / public education. Recommendation on future, that's the racial disparate impact. And then funding is, you know, it's also recommendations, but separating out in terms of subsections. So we track the language here. So whatever we say at the top of the page, if we say, I just know what I've written, like criminal sanction, could it be behavioral system of care for mental health or something like that? Could be just what's written here. So I'm just wondering if that would be a way. So it's all recommendations.
Asher.
I think it would be more palatable to adjust the recommendations to be more like the table of contents. I think the table of contents presents it in a way that the board can swallow it.
I don't want to speak for the board members, but I think that if we don't, as a task force, put forth a very clear, concise, this is a systemic change, mm-hmm. it is not, we are not recommending the current system.
Right. We're not tweaking around the
edges. I think that that's what my understanding of the task force is. We want to see systemic change in the allocation of funding, in the allocation of services.
But I think the table of contents says that more clearly than just listing the recommendations.
I don't think any member, honestly, will get stuck on the table of contents. I think what we're trying to do right now.
But if you don't match,
they don't really.
That's a good guide to get over the majority. Don't get stuck.
Mike,
I absolutely
strike
agree.
That from the minutes.
I absolutely agree that it has to match.
Right.
I agree that with that.
And I also have a strong sense that there's probably seven ways to do this effectively. I think what's most important is that the ideas match, and that they're in an organized, thoughtful fashion. Lynn just made a recommendation that sounded really sound to me in terms of the, you know, I think what we ought to say is, what's the problem or the challenge? What are our recommendations with what needs to change? How can we implement these changes? How can we fund these changes? What needs to be done next, or what's on the table, what's on the launching pad?
What's on the launching pad?
That seemed to me to be a very logical way to go through it. What you've got here seems like it could fit. It just needs to be tweaked, and then these need to be renamed so that they're consistent, and they need to be ordered in the same way. I think the same order has to happen.
James,
I think Darlene's had enough input on this.
Let
her try to do what she can with what people have given her to try to get you pull the thing in line, and then we can.
Yeah.
Then we can.
And God bless
destroy
you.
We can destroy it on the 13th and have to start all over again.
He's terrible. But well, I like that because, you know, of course, my time is rolling. Okay, so I think Darlene is well versed. I would just ask, Lynn is really finishing her final recommendation.
Sure.
I know you will talk to Darlene. to make sure that what you have, she gets, and that the language has to be matched. Uh-huh. And then I'll read the juvenile part and the other part of that by Friday.
I will mail that to you. It's not in here. It's not in this. She didn't get a transfer. She didn't get it.
But it's electronically, correct?
We have two versions going.
Didn't you send me that whole draft electronically?
Probably not the juvenile justice paragraph, because I think I wrote that today.
Okay. Ms. Ashford.
Going back to table contents, the juvenile justice and racial disproportionality, I think they should be put together. That's where it
starts.
They're
going to be the same section.
Because the juvenile justice starts out with no racial disproportion, and as you go along, it becomes more and more disproportionate, which means whatever we're doing, it doesn't work.
At the beginning. At the beginning.
Yes, right at the beginning. I mean, all that racial disproportionality is fully in place by the time they're 21. So what is it when they're 14 and 15? How are we failing them?
I guess you need to visit the juvenile detention center.
Yeah, that's an interesting question because it frames it in terms of them. I would frame it in terms of us.
Right.
What are we
doing?
And I think
that's what she means, yeah.
What are we doing?
Yes, what are we doing? Yeah. But we're failing them.
So that's but they'll be in the same section. I know Darlene has experience.
And I'm not saying a lot about it because we didn't really talk about that. I'm basically saying the juvenile justice system, even though we didn't talk about it much in this group, has begun to implement some of these strategies because they already do some restorative justice things. They already have some intake process that's centralized for the county, et cetera. They already have some mental health services in place. But they are still room for improvement in this area, and that's about all I'm saying about it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to...
There was one point that Darlene wanted to say. This purpose and vision, the intro, I think maybe we should try to give you some comments within 48 hours or something, or 24 hours.
Yes, that would be great.
I mean, I don't think it's going to work.
Comments in 48 or...
Give us our time frame to do?
Tomorrow. That's where you have to decide. I can only do so much. I got papers to grade. I got to do that final recommendation. So can I
she
get
just
some of my
front
report
page.
Later?
Yeah.
Okay.
The front page.
Basically, what I did is I said the board said we were tasked to do these three things, and we have basically developed this vision based on the core principles of the previous group. And we agreed that there was a broad array of interventions we'd like to see, and I moved on to the recommendations.
Yeah,
that's
so we could
it.
just the front page.
You can certainly make corrections or change the language or whatever. What I thought, the two references that are referenced here, I didn't do footnotes, but I need to figure out a way of how are we going to reference the previous task forces.
The interim report.
If I need to do something or do a link or tell them where to go, I don't know, we need to...
Maybe there's a little, you can put a little code on it or something that represents the previous report.
Yeah.
Which means that under item C, because she's written the vision here on the front, you guys would comment on by email.
There was one more recommendation. I know you guys are going to hit me, but it's the community sanctions one. I made a significant change in light of input from Amstrad. So I don't know if you're coming back to that. But
so I just wanted to skip.
Okay,
I just wanted to cross that off.
Okay.
And the core principles, which Darlene and I have not met about, but I think we agreed in principle that it should be number 4, which is specifically covering the human rights issue across the board from the core principle list, of which I didn't bring.
What are you saying?
From the core principles, I think it's number 4. James, can you pull that up?
Human dignity.
About human dignity. That you want to add that as a recommendation?
That would be the core principle. No. Under your vision, it would go...
What I just said was building on the core principles developed by the first task force and reference it.
Yeah, and so somewhere in there...
You want to put another sentence?
Put that sentence from that number 4, I think it is.
Okay.
I'm not comfortable with reference. It's saying we're building on the core principles of the previous test.
We didn't see that. We never had a chance to talk about it.
Right. So I don't think that's
what we're doing. All we're trying to incorporate some of the language from that number before, not necessarily.
Okay, so then the final recommendation for today would be the one that we got tonight, which is copied on the table. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I'm just going to explain that. And I'm moving as fast as I can, but I've been working on a lot of different recommendations and trying to do my day job.
You are
too.
Doing a lot of writing.
But again, this is the recommendation dealing with making sure there's a full range of community-based diversion deferred adjudication. It was passed out.
I got
two of them. Actually.
Okay. So we've got the overview, but here's the main thing. We're calling for the full range of community sanctions. We're identifying implementation priorities, and there are four. One is going to be discussed more fully in the restorative justice section, but I thought it's good to put it here. Now, here's the main change. Remember that the first priority mentioned day fines only, and I understand it's a very complex concept, and the reality is day fines, when properly structured, diminish discrimination against the poor and the like. It's a difficult concept, though, and if we're struggling with it, the county board is not going to understand it. So what I am recommending is, and let's see if I can give you a page on the full report. Page four of the full report, that instead of referring to day fines as the priority, penalties that avoid, where appropriate, both supervision and incarceration costs. Now, I don't ever use the word day fine, but I do talk about a starting point to avert a necessary incursion of supervision and incarceration costs would be, revamping basically the structure for implementing and collecting fines, and basically calling for a whole look at the economic sanctioning system. What I have not provided is specifics that you and others have shared with me, that when people don't pay their fine, a lot of times we're going to say, oh, well, they didn't pay their fine, but nothing happened.
We try to collect.
But that means it's not a meaningful sanction. That's right. Why day fines are important. But the point is basically saying we need to look at this because it can save incarceration costs, it can save supervision costs. It is complicated to put in motion. We need an expert, and that's the point. Get somebody to come in and do this, and because as you say, I've heard also about the fees. It sounds like it's
looking at the fines
at the economic
system.
Yes, fine and fee system. But that's as an example. That is an example of a way to avoid supervision costs. But instead of getting into what is a day fine and the benefits and all that, it speaks more generically. Let's look at penalties that can avoid supervision and incarceration costs, giving this as a starting point, I guess I could say a possible starting point if you want me to temper it even more. But the reason we need money for a consultant on economic sanctions. It's important. It can really save money. So I'd really like to refer to economic sanctions, because otherwise we aren't going to get that money for the experts.
Fine, but then don't be specific about them. They don't just say, oh, forget it, when someone doesn't pay. Mm-hmm. They put them on your credit card, and she has to declare bankruptcy for them, or they send them out to collection, she wants to find an apartment, they look that up and find that she
And so what I guess I'm saying is these can work. Fines can work. They don't work. What you're telling me is they don't work here. I'm hearing from criminal justice officials, they don't work here. Everybody's agreeing they don't work. They have discriminatory effects. They aren't meaningful sanctions, et cetera. So we need to refine our fine and fee structure. But instead of saying fine and fees, and then everybody says, well, how are you going to do it? My answer is, I'm not an expert on fines. Let's get a consultant. So I tried to be responsive to your concern. I think it's a legitimate one because it is complex. I hope I did it.
I agree with Lynn, because the concept is, it is hard. You don't want the idea of saying there's two, and you want to be sensitive to the idea that we don't want two systems of justice, those who can pay to stay out of jail and those that can't. But what Day finds for you, and there, it's almost a misleading term, but like the, right. the countries have done it, which is a, it's a very progressive, very European notion, right. which is if I go to jail, there's an economic cost to my family. And so here's what it is, and so we got to figure, okay, well, we won't make you go to jail, but we have to make sure you pay it in other ways so you can keep your job, you can do all those things. So it actually accomplishes the things that you're wanting it to do. I don't think, and we've talked about this, it's so progressive. I don't see Champaign County kind of going to the day fine system at present because it is such a big jump. But I like some of the principles that are at play there. And so I think the way it's written, and this first time I'd seen the change that are taking the day fine, I like this a lot better because I think it addresses those things to say there are ways to be looking at it. So it really isn't trying to punish the poor. It's trying to say we recognize not everybody's the same. But punishment for me isn't necessarily a punishment for somebody else. And trying to figure out on some kind of a sliding scale, you can do a lot of different factors, how that can be implemented rather than a standard $500 fine, which means a lot more to some than others. Mm. But it's very, and those points are well taken. You do not go to jail if you don't pay your fines in Champaign County. We do not file petitions to revoke for that. But you're right, there are penalties regarding your credit, regarding things like that, and the credit, and the collection agency is chasing you down. That's absolutely true. But I do think that there is, in not just in Champaign County, in all counties, some need to look at how we do it. Because, for example, I do not put fines on my cases. Because what's the point? But if you ask what their court costs are at the end, it's probably still on a standard felony. It's probably $500, $600. Yeah. And that's all mandatory fees, largely from the state, some from the county. So that's even without a fine. It's like, I would say it's like a telephone bill. It's every little tax and fee. And I've pulled this all in. Champaign County is the only county, and this is a clerk issue, and with a new clerk, I don't know if it's that I've practiced all over Central Illinois. Anywhere else, you can go and say, what does my client owe? If it's a $400 fine, what do they owe? And they'd say, they do the math, and it's usually about twice what the fines are, maybe a little more. Champaign County says, we'll let you know in a week. We can't compute it even today. It's going to take us that long to figure it out. Which is very troubling, you know. You like really, you don't, you know. They can't figure it out, and it's partly to show how complicated it is. So, it's almost more of a state issue, but then a lot of that is county issues too. So, just looking at that, I don't think is a terrible idea because those fees are hurting them in the same way as you're talking. Sorry, the fees and costs are hurting them in the exact same way you were talking about with the fine.
Yeah,
I think Lynn made a really nice suggestion, which is to frame this in a fashion that says, here's the things that need to be looked at. These are our recommendations. But we don't have the details. Mm-hmm. And we need to hire a consultant to look into this. And, mm-hmm. and does that seem like, Ashford, does that take care of your concern?
Yes, so long as we don't. I think taking out the carefully calibrated fees and just saying we need to look to a consultant for economic penalties, I think that's fine. But by the time you talk about calibrating fees already, I think you're asking for trouble.
And I think she took out.
I took out day fines, but I still talk about carefully calibrated because I guess my response asked her, if I was on the county board, I'd say, well, if it's not going to do anything, I'm not going to hire a consultant.
Well, but Lynn Branham says it's going to save us money.
Yeah. Well.
But the thing is,
I'd like to think the county board will do whatever I say.
The thing is, the fees are a whole different thing from Europe. Our poor are so much poorer. And our rich are so much richer that our poor really can't afford any fees. They really can't. They are poor. And here in this county, we got some awfully poor people. What are you going to do with them?
I mean, I think the overarching issue as we came to this issue is the recommendation that you really actually need to look at your whole economic penalty structure. I think that... That's something that needs to go forward, you know.
Yes.
Needs to go forward.
If I may suggest also, because they all mean different things, I wonder if it also should almost be broader in the sense that say calibrated fines, fees, and costs, because they're all different things. I mean, we all get to the total, but they are different things. And if we had an expert look at it, they should look at all the different ways these monies are coming together.
So Lynn, where is it that you're asking for the consultant?
That's actually when we get into the cost, the cost section, when we talk about what would be the cost of implementing this, you'll see on page 9, it says as far as fines, most of the work's going to be done by coordinating council, et cetera, but it says basically we need an expert.
I like that up front.
That's where I was. Yeah.
Just because you couldn't get it all done because we don't know what the system currently offers right now. So, Lynn, you're going to, I see the changes. I can tell the difference of the two docs uh-huh. that you have here.
Yeah.
Some stricken, right? You're going to finalize that, I assume, at some
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
And Darlene is going to get that.
But I did appreciate the opportunity to give a tutorial
yeah, the,
on means-based fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I
didn't it's educational for me, but at this point, we're simply waiting for the finals of these folks' pieces in order to get back to you. And you're going to have a staff member that's going to try to help with this in the interim. So getting things to, you got to get the women's piece to me. You got to get them to us right away. Because ultimately we're going to have to cut it off. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Darlene won't have time to calibrate all this together. Okay? So I would say we meet Thursday. Monday is the latest date. If you can't get your changes by Monday, it's going to be difficult for her to work.
No, changes on our what we're individually working on?
Correct.
Or
yeah.
not
all
comments
the
about what she's...
No.
Then I'll put it... What I'll do is use the latest version, and I'll, try to, do, I'll try to do some of the editing pieces, which is make it a little more consistent, et cetera. And then bring to the meeting next Thursday. Then we can still do, as a group, last edits. But I need one document to work
one
with.
Right. Final document to work with.
And then I have a couple days to get it ready for the county board.
Okay.
So I will send it to everybody one last time before I give it to anybody else.
Or are we going to get something before the 13th or
she's,
the document? Be
this is as good as I got right now.
I don't think she's going to get it all to
this
the
This is as good as I've got right now.
So what are we going to have on the 13th? I'm sorry.
The final draft.
But we won't be able to get it like before.
I will try to give it to you. I'll see if I am able. I will be having my secretary
right.
to put it together before I. I mean,
if it's possible.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this. I don't know. But we'll see how quickly we get this stuff.
If you send me final versions of your parts by Monday, then my secretary can put together in just like this format. Again, everybody's part, so that you will at least have read. It might not be in
right.
the exact font or something, but
right.
you will at least have read everything everybody wrote.
Okay, so Monday is the deadline.
Yeah.
So we'll do Monday
yeah.
close of business. Okay. Scott, you want to say final?
I just had a quick question. I will not be here next week. I'll be on vacation that day. But so in figuring out the rest of the schedule, I know I had from when the original schedule came out,
mm-hmm.
We're submitting it to the county board on the 25th.
We're actually going to submit it. If we get on the 13th, we
okay.
should have a final draft. We're going to do some markups, hopefully.
Okay.
And this is Darlene.
I'll work
call.
On it over the weekend and get then. I
the
have
goal
actually,
is to release it before
yeah.
the 25th to the county board so they'll have a few days to mull over it.
Okay.
And then we have our.
Deb told me I needed to give it to them by the 19th.
It depends on how you want to produce it. There's a county board meeting, a monthly county board meeting is June 20th. So we can get it. If we can get it posted that day, and whatever version is going to be hard copied and provided to them, we can provide it to them.
And the county board has to rule in.
Which also means that you. I mean, if the 13th is too soon, you could potentially meet on the 17th, 18th, or 19th. I don't know if that helps Darlene. I don't know if it helps all of you.
It didn't help us.
We're gone.
We will be gone.
Yeah.
Everybody's vacations are all starting to
yeah.
disappear.
Yeah.
So I think we should stay
yeah.
with the schedule that we have. The 13th is our revision night.
If we find on the 13th that we have something we really can't resolve, or so then we can maybe
then
try to meet another day. But
yeah. It'll give us another.
It'll give us a couple days.
On the 25th.
Okay. That was my what our next responsibility was after that. So I just want to make sure. Okay.
Yes. So that's why we really
so
need
we may
to try
meet
to keep
again
to.
After the 13th, you're saying?
We're going to try not to meet
we're
after the
13th,
but if it is absolutely necessary, then we'll try to come up with something. But we only have Monday and Tuesday to work with.
What are you doing about the gaps then, or have you already sent them out? Because, you know, the challenge we've got is, like, I wrote a lot of this. You're writing two sections with racial diversity
mm-hmm.
a second,
mm-hmm.
and then we've got Julian wrote one, and you're
writing
then
we're
going to
provide
another.
The women.
So
at our, what I'm saying is, as I can't tell really what I'm missing because I don't know what all of you are changing. Mm-hmm. So on the 13th, that evening, I will have sent you a draft to look at ahead of time, maybe by Wednesday. And you will notice if anybody's missing any, you'll read through it and say, oh, this doesn't make sense, or oh, we're missing numbers here, or I'd like to see more here. And we can try to get that in a couple of days, and I can put it in. But at that point, we're pretty much down to the wire.
And so we added the extra meetings for this purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, we could do a team break.
Well, we should all plan that next week is the strategy, too, right?
Well, the next week is who's presenting
and
what's
great.
Yeah, we
got to
do that next week.
I'll do the opening dance, song and dance.
Okay.
Start to set up.
You talked about the language for the mental health.